Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace among all of God's creatures. It might be difficult to think about peace at this time of the church year, as we have all of the hustle and the bustle involved in running around in circles. The events and dates to plan, it just doesn't really seem like there's any time for peace and for rest. But the word of the Lord that encounters us this morning through the book of Isaiah carries with it a word of peace for you. It's a word of peace that directs our hearts and our minds to the source of all peace, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But before we can understand that peace, we go back to Genesis. In Genesis, we hear about how God has made all of creation. Let the waters swarm with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the heavens. And he created livestock and all the creeping things of the earth and the beasts of their kind. And on the sixth day, God created in his own image. He created mankind in his own image, male and female, he created them. He created us to be stewards of God's creation over his fish of the sea and birds of the air and livestock of the earth. And all of it was so good. God said, "It is very good." And he rested on the seventh day. Every part of God's creation living in harmony. Creation, all of creation, is God's good and gracious, undeserved action. It's all good. Even God's creation today is good. Even God's creation today is beautiful. Every time you look north and you see those mountains as your backdrop, every time you see the sky turn from blue to gold to hues of fuchsia and orange at sunset, every time you go to the beach and you see those waves come in and the birds of the air and maybe the fish out in the distance. See, creation is beautiful today. But it can also be downright deadly. It may be nice and cute to watch the beast from one side of the fence at the San Diego Zoo, but you don't want to be on the inside with a 400-pound gorilla. You don't want to be towered over by a 10-foot-tall bear standing on its hind legs. And you don't want to be in the presence of a lion with its mouth opened wide with its 3-inch canines. There's unrest in God's creation. God's creation can be a dangerous place. And the unrest is even known among us in our own homes as feuds last for decades between brothers. Husbands and wives fight over trivial things. Children decide what's best for themselves and rebel against their parents. This unrest is common to us all. And this unrest and brokenness is the result of sin and the fall. This unrest has swung like a wrecking ball through history by wars and death since the time of Adam. Creation has been broken by the sin of God's stewards, the ones who were created in his image, the ones who were called to place their trust in God and yet place their trust in other things, in God's order has been in disorder ever since they listened to the serpent's question, "Did God really say?" And ever since that sin, the greatest of all sin, distrust in God's promise, the effects have been devastating, and the brokenness has extended to every creature and every part of creation. Yet God has remained gracious. He has remained gracious to as he has chosen his particular people, Israel, to be his people who would draw all people to him. He made them to be his people like the great oaks of Lebanon, who would stand high above the fray in holiness, set apart to direct the nations and all creation to the Torah, the instruction of Yahweh, that the Lord would redeem and buy back his creation, that he would bring restoration through his people, and he promised to do this all through them. Through Jesse and his son David, there is the promise of this great tree that will bear fruit. There was the promise that God would take care of this brokenness and unrest, that he would bring peace to all the nations, to all the inhabitants. That was made to bear fruit, was leveled, cut down. As Isaiah 5 says, he speaks of the Lord looking for justice, but he said he found bloodshed, looking for righteousness, but instead he found outcry. The Lord was looking in and amongst his own people for a people who lived according to his ways, but he found none. No one stood up righteous, bearing fruit. And if the Lord looked for this among his own chosen people, Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, and he found no justice, imagine what that means for the whole world, for us. Paul says in Romans 3, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. From the time of Adam, all of God's creation has gone awry. It's broken. Creation against creator, creature against creature. And this brokenness all finds its root in the creature that was created in God's own image, the creature that was made to be the steward of his creation, the creature that so often seeks trust in his or her own ideas, the creature that's bent on idolizing and worshiping anything and everything but God himself. It's you and me. So who will redeem us? Who will redeem us and save us from this sin which means judgment and death? Especially if the line of Jesse has become a stump.
in Isaiah 11. God promises that a root
a shoot
will come forth.
A shoot will come forth and bear fruit. This one who has come from the stump of Jesse is the true Davidic king. He is the truly righteous one as he sprouts forth as the fulfillment of God's promise. He is the one on whom the Holy Spirit rests in his baptism in the Jordan. He is the one who brings restoration and fulfillment in his life. He is the one who is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is he. He has taken the brokenness of mankind upon himself. And he took it all. He took even our sin, even though he knew no sin, to the cross, where he atoned for your sin, where he brings forgiveness to you. And he bears the fruit of peace between us and God. He brings that fruit of peace to you, the fruit of rest. And he has borne this fruit by restoring the image of God to you and to me. He has brought peace between Creator and creature. He has brought the word to you and to me and causes us to bear the fruit in keeping with repentance, that we might believe the gospel. And by his word, he restores to you and to me faith and trust in our God, faith and trust in our Creator God. And he brings this forgiveness to you and to me through his word and his sacrament today. And he justifies you. He makes you right. As Paul says in chapter 5 of Romans, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now you have fruit, bearing faith that bears other kinds of fruit. In Galatians 5, Paul says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And this faith that you have been given reconciles you also to one another. This peace that you have been given with God reconciles you to each other, giving you peace with each other. And it leads to peace among your brothers and sisters in Christ. It leads you out to be bearers of this peace into the world. Rest in this peace that Christ has given you by his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection. And because the peace that God brings is a promise for you, God brings this peace to all of creation. God brings this peace to all of his creatures. That is the promise.
the wolf
shall lie together. All of this happening on God's holy mountain. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra. The winged child shall put his hand in the adder's den, and they shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. God's holy mountain shall be at peace. All that Christ has done for you and for me in forgiving our sins and restoring the image to you will one day be made known and shown and spread out across the entire earth. All centered on Christ Jesus. The root of Jesse shall stand as a sign for all peoples. His resting place shall be glorious. Just as God rested on the seventh day, on that day there shall be an eternal rest from God's creative act of redeeming and restoring you and all of creation. This is God's glorious plan. And that is what we look forward to as his people. Today we grasp hold of this most glorious action of God's redeeming us through Christ's cross, where he took all of your sin, died for it, bore the fruit of eternal life to give you, and bore the fruit of eternal life to give to you. He and his incarnation, his cross, and his resurrection stand for you today as God's act of restoration for you and for all his creation. And we wait for it in peace, because our God is the God of peace. And as Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.